recording right
it's
now?
It's good, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, why? You got some stuff to get off?
No, I just wanted to announce that I finished the script. I started a script and finished it.
Mazel!
Last 3 nights. Spec comedy called Prison Chess.
Fucking great name. I thought you were going to say Prison Chest.
Prison Chest? Could be that too.
I just imagine you, not in an erotic way, but with your top off going, ah!
The Goose!
Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Well, we are here, but we're not there. We're not in the usual Goose cavern.
Which is the Velvet Mist?
The Velvet...
Is it the Velvet Mist, we call it?
Yeah.
So. I'm actually quite glad because I don't know if this is true, but I have a feeling the Velvet Mist might be kind of dusty.
Kelly has an aversion to anything remotely resembling... Or that could be construed as particles in the air.
She does not like a velvet mist.
No, she doesn't.
Oh, there's a long list.
Particularly a dusty one.
A dusty velvet mist isn't the best.
Let's not say dust anymore. You're going to make me cough. I'm very open to suggestion.
What else can we say to Kelly now that...
I'm feeling like I'm the only girl.
Halls.
Oh,
halls lovely. Are my favourite room in a house.
Yes. Yes.
Smoothie. It was getting as close to soother as I could.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Was bad.
Tenuous.
It was tenuous.
Very tenuous.
Could have gone for a baby soother.
Oh, yeah. I know.
What a shame. Missed opportunities.
Missed opportunities. Joy of my life. I want to do a chant, you guys. I feel like I haven't been here in so long for the podcast, and I was listening.
How many podcasts have you been on? Like three?
One?
I've been on. Is it not in? You're not in a podcast rather than on a podcast.
It could be either. There's sometimes those.
Inside.
Inside. Yeah. You mean inside the Velvet Mist?
And outside and on. Under a podcast. How many podcasts have you been under now?
I've been under two.
Two?
How many podcasts have you been beyond? I've been beyond a lot now. I've only missed a couple.
You missed a few.
Yeah, a few. More than two.
There hasn't been one without my annoying voice,
I don't think. You are...
You're
the rock. You're the rock, Mark.
This podcast alive.
Yes.
I think Annie and Moira Annie is more consistent than...
Moira's pretty consistent. Apart from when she went away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then Annie travels a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's a Yankee.
That doesn't make any sense. I'm very aware because I've listened to the two I was in that my voice is quite screechy, and so I'm trying to keep it nice and low.
The velvet tones.
Yeah, because we don't have the velvet mist, so I'm compensating.
Well, what's been going on? What have you been up to, Kelly? You've been sick.
It's been really boring, actually.
I'm now 2 months into being sick.
Are
you still sick, Mark?
Yeah, still. You can still hear the nasalness in my voice.
And the glazed over
your normal voice.
Maybe a slightly nasal... Well, maybe major nasal voice normally, but it's a bit more...
Yeah.
So you've been sick.
Well, you know, the first week, you're brilliant. You're kind of too sick to really do anything, so you just... relax, and that was lovely, but ever since it's just been really annoying because life is going on without me, but now I'm back in life or on life.
So many songs. Obla-dee, obla-da, back to life, back to reality.
Then there's the O-Life. I'm not going to sing that one, it's horrible.
So you're back at it.
I'm back at it. Yeah,
she's back.
I mean, every now and again I have a 5 minute coughing fit and I cry after, but other than that it's all good.
Yeah, I do.
Kelly is looking so healthy today that I mistook her actually for a Spanish lady, because Kelly does have a darker hue to her visage. Kind of skirt around
visage or visage.
Visage, I'll say whichever. I mean, she's dark hair and kind of sallow skin, is that correct?
Olive.
But she was looking particularly Spanishy as she was coming down the stairs doing punching things towards me. I was like, oh, the receptionist is being really friendly. What's our...
Well, you must have been mistaken for Spanish before, Kelly.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I know you.
I used to...
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was on the bus as a teenager, I used to have the lads at the back of the bus. I'd be a few seats up and they'd be like, oh, look at the jugs on that Spanish one. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, get me a piece of that. And then I'd be mortified right then. I'd turn around and be like, actually, guys, I'm Irish. I understand everything you're saying.
Ah, look, the jugs on that Irish one. They would then correct themselves.
Yeah, excuse me, these jugs are Irish. Guaranteed. That's why you got that tattoo of the GI symbol onto your breasts.
Mark, I showed you that in private.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And you, Rory.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was mistaken for a Spanish student on bus as well. To one incident where there was a whole lot of Spanish students on the bus, and I think the teacher had paid for like 20, and then the bus inspector, ticket inspector, come along, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, counted me, and then was like, that's not 20, there's more than 20 there, what the hell's going on?
I remember once, back when I was a teenager, meeting a guy for a date outside Trinity, but it just so happened that's where all the Spanish students were gathering, so he spent about 10 minutes trying to find me amidst just 100 other students,
like picking up their hats, looking at them.
No, yeah. Nah, no,
going one by one. This one, no. This one, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You also have the benefit of being student sized.
Oh yeah, that was the thing. They were all really young. They were like 50. No, they were 12, and I was 17.
Yeah, that's about Kelly's size.
There was two women on the street earlier who looked lost. And one of them looked particularly foreign, and the other one was like, well, I guess she's foreign as well. So I asked them, they were searching around for a long time, and then they're like, oh,
you
yeah.
You hated giving directions. Is this not your thing?
It's true.
Okay, go on, sorry.
It is true. I'm not good at giving directions, but I'm also a very kind and generous person.
You are.
Irresistible force meet unstoppable. No. Unstoppable object meet immovable wall. Is that it?
The object in there. Irresistible force meets.
An
unstoppable force speeds an immovable object.
Every action has an equal and opposite reaction. Fulcrum. Just saying everything I remember from
F
physics.
F equals MA. And so I said, hey, are you alright? Are you lost? And they were looking for 9 Euston Street. And we're on Euston Street. I've given away our location. Just if you're
bam, Mark's dead now.
There's going to be crowds outside now.
It's not live.
Like the Beatles. And yeah, they turned out to be Irish, and I was like, oh, well, fuck you then. I mean, sure, you can figure out. You're on Euston Street, you can very wear 9.
Were they
Euston
not
Street
from Dublin? Was that it? Or were they from Dublin?
I mean, you can still not know where 9 Euston Street is.
Yeah, and fuck it. You're Irish. Yeah, you can.
It's not really.
So, did you not give them. Did they ask?
Well, I said, well, yeah, this is Euston Street.
I hope you pointed them in the wrong direction.
Yes, I did.
Good.
Yes. They're in the Liffey now. Hey Kelly.
Hi, yeah.
Have you had any licorice lately?
Oh, just half a bag of licorice all sorts last night.
This makes your teeth hurt. You were saying
me
before.
Hurt feels like it's not fair.
Not fair on my teeth.
Hurt is undermining what I'm going through.
Feels
right
like
now.
You're bullying your teeth. Oh.
What's a one-up word for hurt?
Agony.
Yeah.
But as a verb, that they hurt your teeth,
painstake my teeth.
No,
that's attacking incorrect. With viciousness.
They are laying siege to your teeth.
Yeah, nice. Destroying from within.
Well, you put it in, so.
Yeah. I know.
Do you ever get, Rory, do you ever get pain in your teeth?
I know you think that I eat sweets all the time.
I'm actually pointing out Kelly is the weirdo this
actually,
time.
Actually, Rory, I think I got those sweets inspired. Myself and Rory had a conversation on Saturday saying how we didn't want to eat sweets anymore.
Well, no, not that we didn't want them. But we would prefer if in the long run we hadn't eaten them.
Oh, because of... Okay.
Because of the vanity of like we'd like to be in better
shape. We're in now. But that sounds like we're both really,
really obese. Which you are, Kelly.
In incredible.
No,
that
sounded really mean. Kelly's not at all.
Whatever. Let's not.
I was gonna say both. No.
Merely her GI breasts.
So anyway,
only girl on the podcast. Only girl on the podcast.
What happens
here?
Only
girl. Moira and Annie are gone now. Mark and I are gonna run riot.
I'm feeling I should have talked to them first to see what how things pan out when you're the only girl. No, I wasn't regretting that I'd done it in the past. I really enjoyed all those times I ate sweets. I wanted to go forward
Better. I experimented with sweets back in college, and I don't regret it now. It was a learning experience.
I know.
So now you want to change your habit of eating sweets and getting pain in your teeth.
Yeah, but I haven't drank in a month because I've been sick, so I needed to rebel.
Okay, well then that's
last night.
You have to be moderate in your temperance.
But it's a sore. No, I don't.
Like you can't just be like full on like acetic. You can be, but it's you need little dollops of indulgence.
No idea what you're talking about.
Like you can't just be speaking in Victorian language today for some reason.
Hey, wait, you know what word I'm waiting to hear?
Milieu.
Oh, what's the point? So the podcast would get to hear.
Well, you should have unconsciously fed it to me.
Oh yeah.
Apparently, milieu. I went through a phase of saying milieu quite a lot. And then at a party last week, Kelly took me to task. Drink had been taken, and I was saying the word cognizant, but the people who I was talking to didn't hear it, so I guess I repeated it a number of times, and Kelly just called me.
It's not a nice quality of mine, calling people up on their...
The way they speak?
Yeah.
You did defend it on the grounds that I do that a lot. I call people out and stuff, so...
You do.
A friend of mine decided... that I say a lot.
Oh yeah, you do, but it's nice.
Well, it is.
You just started that sentence with you do.
Do I? Did I?
You did.
Well, it is. It's not particularly nice to hear, but it's also particularly aggravating for somebody to repeat that back at you. If you say and somebody goes back at you,
oh yeah,
that's pretty much the
needling you.
Yeah.
It's a needle in you, I like that. My mum used to repeat back after me. I went through a went through a phase of saying in fairness. Or do you know what I mean? I went through a phase of saying both those things, but every time I said it, my mum would say it back at me. What does Rory do then? So you have your
Oh, verbally?
No, I'm trying to think of I think you have fun, kind of very Victorian words that you...
I can be a bit verbose. Times.
Yes.
Not florid language, but diction that for the common man is a bit weird or a bit overly sophisticated. Because I like words.
Some of the words I maintain you pronounce really weird.
There are a couple. Hybrid. I will give you that. I do pronounce hybrid as hybrid.
I like the way you just know it though, and you're not.
But there is that one, and I think there's one other. The rest, I think I'm okay on.
I think it's
a big selection.
Maybe there's other people that pronounce it like this, but you always pronounce ebullient as ebullient.
Ebullient, yes, ebullient. I thought it was ebullient.
I have
a confession
to make.
What's that?
I don't know what it means.
Ebullient?
Put it in a sentence.
Ebullient.
Put it in a sentence. I don't want to give it, because if you give it to me too quickly, I'll be like a kid who's just given a fish.
Roger was in great spirits that day. He was ebullient.
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 Oh.
In everything he did.
Yes.
His enthusiasm was infectious.
Oh, yes. Well, then
ebullient.
It just means,
I thought it was ebullient.
I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
It means
or maybe
with joy.
Yeah. Effervescent.
Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Full of life.
Yeah, there. Those are two.
Those are your words for today, listeners.
What do I do?
Well, you were just talking about your squeaky voice.
Oh yeah.
I don't think you do have a particularly squeaky voice.
I don't think you do either, Kelly.
Yeah. Well, listen back on the podcast I've been in. Very squeaky.
All two of them.
Yeah.
I can't find them. They're so rare.
Well, one of them is labeled Kelly's back.
Okay. So I was joking. I was using exaggeration for traumatic effect.
So actually, as I was saying, I think we tangentialized.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
Everyone's
yeah.
getting on the fancy word train.
Yeah.
Locomotive.
I was listening back on one of the
steel
podcasts.
Word horse.
Yeah. I didn't know what to say, but yeah, I was listening back on some of the podcasts and you guys did a great chant. So is it too fabricated to like
Okay, what was the chant?
Mark Canton.
Well, there's a specific tune which we learned as a warm up in the thing that Moira and Annie and I were doing.
Oh,
but I didn't learn that.
No,
I just
Rory
improvised.
Just joined in.
I just improvised.
Oh, you can tell.
It
in the nicest possible way. No, it was actually lovely. It was like when you're doing an exercise and everyone's doing one thing and someone else is doing another. It was very funny.
It wasn't, yeah, it wasn't entirely spontaneous, in case you thought we were musical genius.
I thought it was.
No, no, no. The song goes mango, 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 and then gimme, 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 kiwi, kiwi, kiwi. And then ananas, bananas, ananas. We at one point after one of the shows we were saying goodbye, and for some reason somebody said Mark Anton, and I said Mark Anton, Mark Anton, Mark Anton. And then we put in the other words.
This is like the making of.
The making of.
This is the making of. Five podcasts ago.
And then the next day, yeah. So then the next day, we started singing mango, 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 and I was like, no, Moira, 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 Rory, Moira, Moira, Moira,
Kelly, Moira,
Moira, Moira,
Moira, Moira,
Annie, 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 Kelly, 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 Annie, 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 Kelly, 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 Mark Anton, Mark Anton, Mark Anton, Mark Anton, Mark Anton, Mark Anton. I feel like that will be less musical than it was last time.
I also feel like we did it before.
It's a callback.
It is.
It's a callback. That's what happens when we repeat the joke.
Kelly, did you take the job?
I don't know. It's
the improv job I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. It's okay. Yeah.
They actually got back to me too. Sorry, Kelly and I auditioned for Dublin's first professional improv show. We got callbacks, but
we're professional. We get paid.
True. Dublin's second professional improv show. But I turned them down.
Yeah. I'm 90% leaning towards doing that as well. Yeah. Pursuing our own projects, you know.
Listening, Improv Boston, maybe you should have let myself and Moira in.
As soon as I said that, I realised that maybe Mark might then have felt...
Because yeah, you know, I mean, you're showing off about being selected and turning it down at the same time. I mean, didn't get past the first round myself.
That's strange to me. But you know what?
You have played us touring the country.
Yeah.
That's right. It is very strange to me.
So karma had to be a bit mean to you.
Wait, it's strange that my play is touring the country? What the hell are you saying, Kelly?
You know I'm being nice. You know I'm being nice in regards to
that. No, it was strange that it was a very fast... I think possibly... we can make all kinds of excuses. There was a couple of women
fucking women
in my audition who didn't know any of the rules, and so that was a little bit like, you don't know what a wipe is or a tag out, even though we explained it.
Okay.
And then I feel like I should have tried to jump in the same audition as Rory and Moira, because I feel like the last audition of the day you're just like, oh fuck off. When I'm behind the desk auditioning people, and you're like, oh, let's just get this fucking shit over.
I definitely read statistics about the fact that if you're going for a job interview, if you're at a time where people, just before they've eaten, or towards the end of the day, regardless of your abilities or how you appear, you're less likely to get the job, just because
that
the person...
Sense.
Yeah. It's not terrible.
They're in a...
So always ask for a morning slot.
Yeah.
Or a slot.
And you want to give people more of a try early, and at the start you're like, let's try it again.
Anybody.
Yeah. Oh, we could pull the right performance out of this person by the end. Oh, jeez. No, I've seen so many people. I'm just fucking sick of this bullshit.
I know, you get people fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Like bus drivers.
I've recently stopped saying thanks to Dublin bus drivers.
Oh, is this your good deed for me?
No, it's not, because a Dublin bus driver in a given shift probably drives, I would say, 2,000 people. And if half those say thanks, it's meaningless, and he's probably like, whatever. Like,
I thought you. I thought it was coming from a place where, because I try and give everyone the benefit of the doubt, so I was trying to give you the benefit of the doubt by assuming that you didn't want him to have to say, no bother.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
Yeah. That he's tired of it. That the double bus driver is tired.
Sometimes.
A lot of the times they actually don't, and it feels like they're just over being thanked by an anonymous person that they have to drive.
You feel used, Rory?
No, I don't. I don't feel used, but I feel like double bus drivers, because there's such a volume of people that.
But the thing is, every time I'm getting off a bus and I say thanks, and I hear people before me and people after me, I think, Jesus. Ireland's great. This doesn't happen in other major cities. I know we're not exactly a major city, but like...
It's not like Cork, for example.
Does it happen in Cork?
No, Cork's a major city. That's my point.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
I missed like that because...
major cities.
Yeah. I don't think it happens.
Yeah. I enjoy a round of applause at the end of a plane ride.
Yeah, me too. It's kind of silly, but it's
I haven't experienced that in quite a while.
No, it's a lot less common, but
it's like, yes, we made it.
It's charming. We made it. Well done for not crashing the plane. You're a great man. Well done.
I think that is that. I don't know.
No, I would imagine that's
the Irish thing, isn't it?
To clap at a plane. I don't know.
They should clap at a bus terminus as well.
Yeah. Or when you get out of a taxi. Great job. You were only slightly racist.
Definitely clap the next time you arrive at your destination in a taxi.
When we assume that all taxis are racist, are we ourselves being racist?
Yes.
Just wondering.
But I am racist, so.
Okay.
I'm being utterly consistent.
Utterly.
It's just a much minor group.
You're jobist, aren't you, Rory? Jobist.
Yeah, I'm jobist.
Yeah, make presumptions about personalities based on the jobs that people do.
Yeah.
I know we're joking, but you probably are a bit jobist.
Slightly.
You probably all are a bit jobist, really.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Probably.
What assumptions would you make about a teacher?
Nasal. My brother's a teacher and he doesn't talk like that at all.
Probably a little bossy. Likes rules.
Likes to be in control.
I find that a lot of teachers now my age are kind of easygoing people.
Like good holidays.
They like good holidays. They're easygoing. They're relatively, but not overly smart.
Oh, no.
I know that's a terrible thing.
They've kind of given up on life. So.
Okay.
No, but they're smart people, and they're not overly careerist. But it's a solid job, and they get good holidays.
Not to listen in on this one.
Yeah, we've just. Alienated a large chunk of our possible listenership. That's what's also a big profession in terms of numbers that we can alienate.
Dentists.
Oh,
Kelly, what do you think of dentists?
Oh, how I love them. A dentist. Have a go in my mouth.
To deal with your teeth,
yeah,
or
with licorice all sorts.
Oh, lads, I'm in so much pain.
Jesus,
it's a disaster.
Have
really.
You got? Bongella.
I don't think the Bongella's for the gums, not for the teeth. That's all. I have to say anyway, what do we think of dentists?
Yeah, but your teeth aren't alive.
Did anyone ever have a dentist slowly kind of bring the chair back and really, like when you were a kid, get closer to you than he should have? And to all.
Okay, this is going to be quite a confession. Did anyone have a dentist that sexually abused them?
No. We're not in the realm of abuse. We're just in the realm of inappropriate kissing.
The last time I was
at. Kissed you.
No, my doctor.
Actually.
Nothing I said too much.
There,
don't you have another doctor story, Kelly?
Do you want to tell your other doctor story?
Yeah, no, definitely not. It's getting really hot in here.
It's all right, I'll delve it in later. So the last I have a similar thing because with when you get your eyes checked,
that's so
even
close.
They're so close. And when I was a teenager, like there was a woman who was quite attractive checking my eyes, and she is right there, and it's just like right beside your face, because they look with that little looker thing, the little torch inside your eye is it's
Trey.
I mean,
Trey
is
erotic.
I felt
no. No. Bah oui, c'est très erotique.
Maintenant, je vais aux bibliothèques avec ma sœur.
You were really trying to figure out whether you were going to go with your mare or your sœur.
Yeah.
Big decisions.
Big decisions.
I was as in life.
Yeah, I was in Cleary's a couple of weeks ago, trying on a pair of jeans, and I
the jean fitter on her. I think that was just somebody who came into the dressing room, Rory. That's not a real profession.
Well, I was like,
let me just help
yeah
you,
well
please.
It was an employee of Cleary's, a male guy, clearly just like an ordinary dub, not like, because treading dangerous ground here, he didn't seem at all gay, you know, sometimes men working in fashion.
Sure, okay.
Anyway, he just seemed like an ordinary guy, and okay. I was
jobist, continue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was concerned. I thought, because I'd bought jeans there, the same type of jeans before, and I bought them too wide. I bought, yeah.
Too big.
And I wanted them smaller. Anyway, so I was concerned that I wanted to know if they would stretch. The guy came in and put his thumbs down like the sides of my pants and kind of just checked for the space.
Yeah.
And he just did it. He did it because that was his job. And I was like, oh, this is kind of invasive, but you're betraying no signs whatsoever of it being.
I mean, was there? Did you exchange words beforehand, or did you just walk straight in?
No, I asked him. I said, well, like, he asked me if I was doing okay. I clearly had on a pair of Cleary's pants at the time. And I was like, well, I'm not sure if these were too small because I bought them.
I wanted him to kind of slip his hands all the way in.
No, I'm only just beginning the story. Okay. And he gave me a prostate massage.
He said, take your trousers off. He cupped your buttocks and said, you're about a size 6B.
Yeah, let me just put my finger in here and just.
My friend went for a bra fitting, if that story was finished.
Is this your man or a woman friend?
Went for a bra fitting?
It could be a woman, wouldn't it?
Well, you never know. Go on.
She went for a bra fitting and...
Names, please.
Mary is her name.
Okay.
And,
it's all right. Story.
It's not really... It's really embarrassing for her. But she told me afterwards that... she gets measured and then... She was trying on the bra and there's a woman helping her, like, and she's... Just the woman says, "Now, just get the girls in there," referring to Mary's breasts. And whenever Mary texts me and says, "She's like, I'm like, what are you up to tonight?" And she says, "Oh, I'm just heading out of the town with the girls." I always just thinking of her boobs.
Yeah,
just
seems slightly inappropriate for the woman
taking the girls out for late dinner.
Yeah, fitting the bra to be like. Mary, oh no, Mary was her name, I guess. She'd be naming the breast something else.
Gigi and Donatella.
Gigi sounds quite close to something.
Well, true.
Mark doesn't know what I mean.
I think he does.
So that's G.
Trying to.
Who's this? Is it Len? Oh, go away, Len. Yeah, you're saying G. Now. What?
Sorry, go on.
What were you saying?
What?
Is there a Muppet in the room?
I'm very good at the coughing game.
I should just write it down, really. Here, go on.
You can say it. You can say...
Well, Gigi sounded very close to Kiki. That was all. I thought that was funny that you named breast.
Oh, I see.
I wrote it down. Yeah,
after you said her name.
Yeah.
Aw, now I have Kiki's name on my hand.
Yeah, you do. I can't wait to tell her that we were speaking about her boobs on the podcast.
Well, we weren't until now.
Well, you are.
We were speaking about the fact that you name all breasts after her name.
I think that's tangentially sufficiently.
I think that's mostly what popped into Kelly's mind, and that's really what she thinks of.
Kiki will be delighted.
She actually will.
Yeah.
She actually will. She's from Amsterdam. She's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's probably offended that we don't spend most of the podcast talking about her breasts.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I've been berated many a time.
Well,
we're going to talk about today's word?
Sure.
Yeah, it's time, isn't it?
Our word for today is runway.
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 And I would like a realistic runway. Discussion of...
Uh-oh.
What place would you run away to? Now, I know that's not the exact same word, but what if you were going to run away somewhere? And if you say, a South Sea island, you need to explain why, accounting for the fact that you lived there for life, and it would actually get boring. Like, if you were going to run away somewhere.
I have some questions, Rory.
Yeah.
When you use the term runaway, are we leaving in a state of flee?
Or did we commit a crime?
Yeah, is there a reason why there's such... force and speed to our moving of countries.
Well, I would have no idea of that experience, but... No, let's say no.
Where would you run away to?
I'm not sure. America has been ruled out.
Nobody in the listening to the podcast knows why, but through
the machinations,
episode after episode, the slight mentions of this. You can try and piece it together. What the hell is going on with Rory's backstory? It's kind of like Lost or something.
Yeah.
Except Runaway. Okay, I don't know, so I'm going to just make some noise until I figure it out.
Would you run away to Israel,
Kelly? That's a racist thing
to say. No, it's not. It's not remotely racist.
To be with my people. Actually, it's a really good idea. I love being with my people.
Have you been to Israel?
Yeah, it's like every all looked like me.
They all look like Spanish students.
Yeah. Okay, can I ask my question about the runway? If when you're looking at a runway, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I'm on a plane and I'm looking at a runway, it kind of inspires this sense of like, anything is possible. I could do anything with my life. Look at this big stretch of thing that this plane's going to zoom along and then take off. Life's mad. When you look at a runway, what feelings does it inspire in you? This sounds like a Cilla Black dating question.
Contestant number one. He'd like to run away with you.
Big long thing. I was finishing Mark's sentence. He'd like to run away with your big long thing.
Is this how it works when there's only one of the girl? I don't think Annie.
This is very mild.
I don't think Annie and Moira take this. I think it's because
it's Annie would take it. Moira would be very offended. I don't know. I mean, it's not often you see the runway. Like, you're on the runway. When you see it speeding past, I guess it's kind of exciting. You're about to take off.
What do you feel? What does it make you think?
Well, it depends if I'm coming back to Ireland or leaving Ireland.
Go on then.
Well, if I'm coming back to Ireland, it's like, oh, I'm going home. And if you're going away, it's like adventure. Different comforts.
Yeah, I think I'm not looking for these answers.
Why don't you tell us what you want us to say, and then we'll say that.
Did you ever try and run away?
Oh, it was a much better question. It's so obvious. Anyway, sorry, he won. If it was a competition, definitely.
I have more questions, but
I didn't. But there were times in my life when I wish I had. Like, I wish that there were times I was like, oh, I wish I could run away when I was.
Are you still referring to California?
No. I'm talking like from my home when I'm younger.
Really?
Just without a marker of independence.
I actually just remembered your runaway story. We were in France, myself and three other girls, and we were restoring.
Three other girls? I thought you only had two.
No, Rory.
You wouldn't call them other girls.
Rory's getting a pen.
No!
He
could have taken my eye out.
He got a pen flick. Myself and three other girls.
Kelly is a third date. That's.
She'd have to have three extra.
Myself and three girls, three ladies, three teenage friends.
That's what you call your best teenage friends.
Oh my god.
The only girl on the podcast.
The only girl. Mark got a hat on the head, but I don't think it did much. My hat's just now on the floor. We were in this horrible place in Champagne where we just flies would fall on the table while we ate, and everything was greasy, and they were horrible. They were not nice at all. And we had a week there. We had 2 weeks there, sorry. And after kind of 10 days, we thought we can't possibly be here anymore. And we ran away to Paris. That was incredibly exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah, wow. That was like a massive adventure.
Were you staying in like families?
No, we stayed in a hostel.
Oh, you weren't there as wasn't like a you went there would just organized by yourselves. It wasn't like
when we were in the horrible place in Champagne. It was with an elderly woman and her husband, and we didn't tell them we were leaving.
Did they abduct you? Was that what happened? were you and three teenage friends abducted by an elderly French couple?
It very much would have felt like the sheets were riddled with lice. And it was prison. They had prisoners' names on them. They did. It was like kind of brown prison sheets. But we found, before we ran away, we found a wine cellar downstairs. And we stole a bottle of wine. And we ran away to, like, we were meant to be doing work on the castle.
Kelly, you want to go, Kelly?
when did you wake up from this dream?
This was true. I'm going to verify this. But we ran away. And
Kelly, wake up. Kelly, we're on the podcast.
We found a lake with this beautiful kind of carved treehouse and stuff. And we drank our wine.
And then the witch who owns the gingerbread house.
But it wasn't the tree, it was a clock.
When we were in a field, a farmer found us. We weren't meant to be there, so he started running after us, and he had a gun. It was really scary. and we had to climb over this wired wall thing. And it was just in time because he kind of got to it as we climbed over. It was very exciting. It was probably the most exciting thing I've ever experienced. But it's all true. And yeah, we got, like, we had what, this one bottle of wine for four of us. And we realized we hadn't brought anything to open the wine with. So we were in this beautiful setting and we had to kind of, like, smash it against the rocks and stuff. Drink out shard, pick out just the shards of glass.
Have you ever opened wine with a shoe?
Tell us about that, Mark.
No.
You put the wine in the shoe and bang it against a wall and then the wine will slowly open it. I've seen it happen on the internet, but I've never actually... I mean, I don't drink wine. Although I did. This is slightly bitchy, but it's kind of funny. Jezebel opened last week and...
that's Mark's play, everybody.
Yeah, it's great.
That's my play.
Do go see it if you can.
Do come and see it. This week we are on in Cork in the Half Moon Theatre, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we'll be in Drake in Blanchardstown on Friday and Saturday. It... is lots of fun. That's the theme tune.
Yeah.
And
I went all out on the composing budget there.
Yeah, my agent sent me a bottle of wine and was wow. like, oh, that's a lovely gesture that shows how little you know me. But anyway, it was a very nice gesture.
Well, if you ever need help drinking it.
Yeah, I have to figure out who I'm going to get to drink this wine. Maybe for the next podcast.
Oh, that'd be a great idea. We never do drunken podcasts.
Did at the start a little bit.
Did we? I wasn't there.
Yeah, no, I think there was like a little bit of wine was given out, but Marco wasn't.
Not enough. Not enough for Rory. Anyway, shoe, bottle of wine, bang it against a wall.
That's the end of that story.
I don't know. I'm trying to dispute it, but I just, I'm in a state of disbelief.
Well, Kelly, you just told us a story about you and three friends being on a French something with an elderly couple.
Trying to build a castle while you were wearing prison clothes.
So let's give Mark a little bit of leeway, shall we? Let's.
At least 90% of the details in that story were true. At least 90%. I'm not sure we had fleas in the sheets, but I was just, you know.
How long is the longest you sat on the runway?
Oh, gross amount of time. Like 3 hours or something. Is that gross?
I sat for maybe it was a couple of hours with Jim Sheridan in the seat behind me, and he was trying to work his phone. His agent, I think, or somebody was beside him, his assistant maybe, and he was just like, Brita, I can't get this to work. And he had it switched so that every time you press any button it goes boop.
Oh no.
Boop boop. Where's and he'd be like, Where's Scarlett Johansson's phone number? This
beep boop boop. Beep, boop, beep, boop, boop. And for 2 hours, it was just like, shut the fuck up, Jim Sheridan. Shut the fuck up.
Wow. That must be mad being that close to Scarlett Johansson's phone number.
Jim Sheridan was booked in to sit beside me. And then his assistant was in the seat behind. And then he said to the guy behind me, oh, do you mind if you switch seats? Swap seats. And so I was sitting beside just some fucking guy. But for a second there, I was like, Jim Sheridan's going to sit beside me all the way to New York.
Wow. Are you guys the kind of people that if you were sitting beside Jim Sheridan, you'd be like, by the way, I'm a writer?
No, I wouldn't.
Not immediately. And I was in the queue with him at passport control and there was opportunities and no way would I do anything.
Yeah.
But if 5 hours... you might get chatting.
Yeah.
Yeah, in that sense, if you get chatting, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not just
straight away. No.
Yeah.
Well, he gets 1,000 people who say that, and there's nothing he can do for them.
No.
Because he has 20 people who are close friends of his, who he would do better for.
Trying to find the toilet. Is there a toilet in here? I'm trying to find the... What are you guys at? What are you at in here? Jim, I'm trying to find a toilet in here.
Mr. Sheridan, we know who you are.
Oh, you know who I am. Do you know where the toilet is? You're obviously not very important people to me. You're obviously
Jim,
not...
Mr. Sheridan, they were disabled after your last flight with British Airways.
Yeah?
Jim, I think you know what we're talking about.
Okay. I do not know how a toilet works. And I may have broken it on the plane.
Yes, Jim.
So we're going to be on the runway now for at least the next 5 to 7 hours because of you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because of you.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Oh, my God's sake. What am I going to do now?
Now, the only reason why we allowed you back on the plane was that so you could tell us the story about what it was like working with Daniel Day-Lewis on my left foot.
Daniel is He's like, I worked with Daniel on my left foot, and Daniel, he came in and I couldn't understand a fucking word he was saying. And I said, Daniel, and I knew he was going to come straight back out at me. And I said, Daniel, and we argued about it for like 15 minutes until finally he got so angry and he shouted at me.
What did Daniel say?
Daniel was just, he was speaking the way he was speaking in the film. We all know how that sounds. And nobody could understand him. And so I said, you're going to have to speak correctly. And he did not like that. He said, fuck off. And I said, Daniel, now you're talking right because you're angry with me. I don't want to hear a disabled man. I want to hear an angry man.
Jim, you actually look...
who happens to be disabled.
You are so animated right now that you kind of look like Daniel Day-Lewis playing Christy Brown in that film.
It must have impacted him.
I think you'll find that he was just sitting in a chair most of the time.
Yeah.
The whole point of the film...
Jim,
whatever your name is that he can only move his fucking left foot. He's animated with the left foot. I'll give you that.
Jim, is there any truth to the rumor that you and Daniel Day-Lewis, in the run-up to In the Name of the Father, that you actually
boxed?
No, that's the boxer.
That's the boxer.
Yeah,
you're thinking of the wrong one.
No, well, I did say In the Name of the Father that you performed an IRA mission.
Now.
Is there any truth? I would hope not.
The mission... Now, we created our own IRA.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Jim, should you be telling us about this?
Yeah, this is being recorded, Jim.
We replaced...
We are going to put this out on the internet.
We replaced John Major with a replica.
Okay.
Okay? Played by Daniel O'Donnell. Yeah.
Okay.
And then we swapped John Major into Daniel O'Donnell's body. Okay.
Alright.
That was the mission. We carried that out. That's just let you know.
Did you ever
what
stop
kind
them
of
back?
Tricks the did IRA were up to.
Did you ever stop them back?
Nope.
No. What? So did Daniel Day-Lewis, who's still performing, is actually John Major?
Daniel O'Donnell.
Or sorry, did Daniel O'Donnell, yes, I'm getting my Daniels mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's actually John Major.
It's John Major. And he liked it. He liked it.
Sure he would have.
That just tells you everything you need to know about the British government.
Yeah.
What did you say then your name of this new brand of IRA was called?
The Bi-RA.
The Bi-RA.
Yeah.
Because you're saying goodbye.
Because we're bisexual.
Well, thanks, Jim. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, I think Mark Hanton has gotten so blacklisted from Dublin art circles once this goes away to Sheridan's.
I think it was offensive to everybody. And
but
I think
particularly
in a way,
Jim
that's
Sheridan.
Non-offensive. Yeah, particularly Jim Sheridan.
My first time ever in America, as in my first day there, I was on a J1 and went to New York City. And my first day, I walked into a pub near the Lincoln Center. And I had ambitions of being a filmmaker at the time. And guess what? I saw Jim Sheridan and Stephen Ray. No, I saw Neil Jordan and Stephen Ray having a pint. And I was like, this is a sign. It wasn't. It was just a coincidence.
And on that bombshell, we will bid you a goose once again, dear listeners.
A you.
A goose you.
A goose milieu. Milieu.
Milieu.
Look out now, pieces on the prowl. Coming at you strong with a big bang. Squeaky
noise.
Smaller than a chicken, lighter than a cow, faster than a worm.